possible perspective, and well, tell me what you think about trying to relate to some of the issues on this page, Kuf Dalet Amud Beis and Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. Could we perhaps go back to our initial question about how to relate to the real Torah focus of Basar B'Chalav? On our sugya now, we're dealing with a couple of issues together, which are Drabanan, and in practice nowadays also greatly influenced by Minig. Actually making a stopover in the Netherlands tomorrow, so maybe I should try to quickly chop a rein and have some Minig HaMakom. Not getting into the issues of whether that would work or not. the idea of separating between meat and milk. So on this spread over here, Kuf Dalet and Beis, Kuf Hei and Aleph, again, we're dealing with Rabbanans or Minhagim about how to keep the two apart. So presumably that, how that is governed, is going to be influenced by what are we really concerned about, right? What is the issue really? So it's probably kedai to keep that in focus. So we have two major aspects of that in this spread over here. Right? The idea of not having meat and milk on the same table, Yisr Ha'Allah, and also the obligation of creating some kind of temporal space, of not having one after the other without some type of interruption. And as we'll see, that interruption could be defined in a number of ways. Could be defined purely as a matter of time, might be defined as a matter of some kind of active interruption, might be defined as some kind of symbolic interruption. And that's something that we need to try to figure out. Why should it be one or the other? So how could this possibly all connect to our central issue? So if you recall, so we started off with the question of Bishul as it relates to Achila, which we also associated with various Tamei HaMitzvos possibilities, which is going to crop up again and again. So what exactly should we focus on? Should we focus on that the real Isser is Bishul, is the creation of Basar B'Chalav as a unit? And we'll eventually see the Gemara is going to introduce the concept on Daf Kuf Ches of Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela, that here Nevela is used more broadly, but that the combination of the two creates a Cheftza of Isser of a new type. So is it that we're really worried about creating Basar B'Chalav and eating is secondary to that? Once we did something bad, we shouldn't be eating that? Or is it the other way around, that we're not allowed to eat Basar B'Chalav, although Basar B'Chalav is defined specifically as Basar B'Chalav that is fused Derech Bishul, which is an interesting condition that we'll come back to at some point. But really the issue is achilas basar b'chalav, and it is the cooking that is secondary. So keeping the focus on that probably affects these issues, right? Because what is the nature of not putting them on the same table together and not eating them in such close proximity? So on the one hand, if you want to focus on Bishul as the big bad, so then you could say that the real Isser Min HaTorah is the combining of these two things, Derech Bishul. And this is also a type of combination. And that's also a problem, which we mentioned yesterday. Maybe that's Rashi's take on the Isra of Ha'ala, Rashi on the Mishnah, and Dilma Asi L'Mechlinu, Ki'adadi, that maybe you'll come to eat the two of them together, but the Kandagi Ubali Mahadadi, and that will cause them to absorb from each other. Now, Rasalvechik and Ishiurim read that as a concern of an act of creation of basa b'chalav that will happen in your mouth. Maybe one could read it the opposite way, though. Maybe one could read it and say they're touching each other and they are therefore somewhat absorbed. Not absorbed in the Torah, but they are somewhat connected, and maybe you'll come to eat that, and maybe that's going to say, okay, I can eat that, I can eat basa b'chalav that's cooked together also. So there might be room to read this Rashi in either direction. I'm not sure. Do you feel one way is more mochrich than the other? All right, that's something that I think is probably open to interpretation. So, that's question one. So can we assume that this is a framework for this whole issue? What are we worried about? Are we worried that whatever we're doing is itself an act of uniting Basar and Chalav? And even though it's not Minat Torah, it's not Bishul, but that's the nature of the Issur D'Rabbanan, that Minat Torah you shouldn't cook Basar and Chalav together, and Midrabbanan you shouldn't unite them in other ways? Or is the issue that you shouldn't be eating basa b'chalav, and therefore these are dinim to keep us from eating them together, or to keep us from actions that are themselves too close to eating them together? Now, especially as we've seen that there are different kinds of yisurim d'rabbanan, so that's also a question we're trying to figure out. Now, we've seen that sometimes an issa d'rabbanan is because A might lead to B, and sometimes an issa d'rabbanan is because it's not that A may trip us up into doing B, it's that A itself is just too similar to B. And if the Torah prohibited B, then the spirit of the Torah is probably also against A. Fell? So there's room to ask that question by all of these dinim. So what's particularly interesting, let's say in terms of Ha'ala, so when it comes to Ha'ala, so that's clearly the Rabbanan. And yet, we started to explain yesterday, that it applies to Oaf. So how do we relate to that fact that it applies to Oaf? So you could have said that it is a Gezerah L'Gezerah. Because if Oaf is a prohibition, Midrabbanan, so then having a prohibition of Ha'ala by Oaf seem like two Gezerahs on top of each other. So, as we noted, that's maybe not a crazy question, because maybe that's why Beis Shammai doesn't think it's a problem. And it's Davka Beis Hillel that here we have an unusual situation where Beis Hillel is the machmir. Now, in order to have that work better, so, like we started to say, what's a way for something not to be considered a gezerah l'gezerah if it's all one gezerah? So what would make something one gezerah? Well, if we could all say it in one sentence, if we could express the chashash as one concern. or if the gezeira that we're really focused on is untenable without the other gezeira. So then all of that works to make something into a gezeira l'gezeira. I mean, to an acceptable gezeira l'gezeira, to a non-gezeira l'gezeira. So if you say the concern really is all about eating, so then it's like the Gemara asked, that this is a little bit farther removed. You know, the Gemara on some level dealt with this, right? That, like the Gemara says, that basar of b'chalav is the Rabbanan, and here the ha'ala is itself the Rabbanan. It sounds like that is, as the language of the Gemara, the Adon ha'ala ato achila, and the achila itself is the Rabbanan. It sounds two steps removed. But if you say that the real concern is the eating, so then it works a little better. Because we're worried you're going to eat this all together. And this is all similar to basar b'chalav. And you'll get in the habit of eating basar b'chalav. And that could have you eating actual basar b'chalav. You hear the formulation? But if we're concerned about cooking, I think the real issue is cooking. So this is a few steps away from cooking. Right? You shouldn't put chicken on the table with cheese, because maybe you'll put meat on the table with cheese, and maybe you'll come to cook meat and cheese. That's a few steps removed. But if the real issue is eating, so then maybe you'll get in the habit of eating this combination, which is similar to meat and milk, and you're not going to be distinguishing, and you're going to come to eat meat and milk. So this whole formulation is easier to accept if you believe that that's the nature of the concern, that the nature of the concern is that you shouldn't come to eat it. And that eating is the nature of the Isser. The Isser is focused on eating. Does that make sense? Now, if you think about this specifically, in the Rambam's perspective, because the Rambam accepts the Isser Ha'ala by chicken, and the Rambam, nonetheless, is of the view that bishul of b'chalav is mutter. And so when it came to cooking chicken and milk, that was, as we understood it, too many steps removed. And we explained that if really the real problem is eating, and cooking is because of eating, so to say, don't cook chicken because you might come to cook eat, you might come to cook meat, and meat is because you might come to eat meat. All right, that's already two steps removed. Even though cooking meat is an issur d'oraisa, but we understood that was also mishum gezeira. But if what we're talking about putting it on the plate, so putting it on the table, the concern is we're going to come to eat it. If eating it is what we're really worried about in the first place, so this is much closer to eating it is than it is to cooking it. Now, maybe you look unsure.
Can you also get to eating directly from cooking chicken with meat? You could take the step from, if you cook chicken with meat, then you might come to eat chicken with meat, and then you might come to eat, chicken with milk, then you might come to eat meat and milk.
Except that's already now two steps removed. Because the cooking chicken and milk is a step removed from eating chicken and milk. And eating chicken and milk is itself a step removed from eating beef and milk.
So what's the difference?
But here, once you're here, the whole the idea of eating this kind of meal is all one kind of thing. So once it's on the table together, you're going to get in the habit of eating these kind of meals together. And eating these kind of meals is all blurs. It basically all blurs into one thing.
So challah and eating is one
right.
category?
Essentially. Challah basically leads you into eating, and eating is all...
So the
eating becomes too hard to distinguish.
Challah and eating
are one. We have a Rambam in the room, right? We used to have a Rambam in the room. It's not so necessary, but...
Well, Allah and eating are more connected than cooking.
Yeah, okay. Right? Because that's already a little bit of a stretch. Now, that's also a function, presumably, of the idea that Chazal's Gezeros are calibrated to the risk. Right? So, that's a part of it. But, if we want to avoid the sloppiness, so to speak, or the imprecision of saying that, well, sometimes we're going to Gezeros, and sometimes we're not. So we can say it a little more neatly. You know, we got that whole discussion about the Tosfos on Kuf Dalet. Well, so maybe sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But it all depends. So you can say it a little bit more objectively and say that if it's all Chad Gezeira, then it's okay. And what's Chad Gezeira? So Chad Gezeira, part of the definition is if one will not stand up without the other. So it's too shaky to say that people will be able to distinguish between, once you're putting things on the plate together, then people will be able to distinguish between this kind of meat and milk and that kind of meat and milk. It becomes very murky. And if you look in the Rambam's language is interesting, because the Rambam says that even though, he emphasizes, that even though basar of b'chalav is only midivrei sofrim, but we're worried, his language is, mishum hergel avera, that we're worried that it's going to create the habit of the avera. So what's the avera? Presumably the avera of eating. Right? It doesn't have any connection to cooking. So that aspect works well, right? That it's not, how is it going to connect to your cooking? So presumably, since he's focused on eating, so once you have the habit of putting them all on the table together, so who knows what that could lead to. And the Rabbaz, if you take a look at the Rabbaz over there on the Rambam, this is in the end of Perek Chavtas of Halachos Machalos Asuras, in the end of Perek Ches of Halachos Machalos Asuras, Perek Halach Chavtas. So the Rabbaz writes there that especially because this is an area where people are likely to make a mistake, because they would think that the Isser Daraisa is Gedi Davka. But since the language of the Torah is Lo Savashal Gedi V'Chalev Imo, so people might think that it means only that. And once we start distinguishing too much, so then, who knows what kind of mistakes people are going to make. Right? Which happens to match what we find with the way people nowadays kind of talk about basar b'chalav. You know, it says, okay, don't boil a kid in his mother's milk. I'm not planning on doing that, so why can't I have a cheeseburger? And they assume that the meat and milk that they're involved with is not covered by the actual language of the pasuk. So since we certainly assume that all basar behema, at least all basar behema tahora, is subject to the isur daraisa, so then that's very dangerous. So here you have a broader gezeira because of a broader concern, but also the idea that a gezeira that would be construed more narrowly is not going to be tenable. But all of that works specifically because, I think it works better because the focus is on a concern of achila rather than on a concern of a creation of a combination of basar b'chalav. Again, I think it's somewhat of a subjective assessment, so if you think differently, please feel free to say so. So then the question is now how to also transfer this over to the idea of waiting. Right, the idea which the Gemara has on Kuf Hei Amud Aleph here spread out over a couple of references. So, for example, here in the middle of Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, so Amar Marukva. Marukva said, "Ana lahamilsa chalabar chamer lagabi Abba, that I'm nothing compared to my father. Dilu Abba ki Abba ochel bisra ha'idna, will have ochel givin Abba macher." So if my father would eat meat today, he wouldn't have cheese until tomorrow. So I'd hash to the same time. Ilu ana bahasu dasa hudlo achilna, lusu dasa achirina achilna. Right, so I am not like him, so yes, I'm careful not to have them in the same meal. But in a different meal, I would have them. So, what does it mean to have them in a separate meal? So here we find a number of different shitas in the Rishonim. And not going to yet get into the question of how many hours to wait, but even just the question of are hours involved at all? And so the Rambam understands that it's a question of waiting a period of time, of waiting the shear of a suda, waiting the period of time from one meal to the next, which he understands to be kishe shows, like 6 hours. Tosfos has a different perspective on it. And Tosfos understands that it's about practically not being in the same meal, but it's about clearing the table, which in their time meant taking away the table's removable. So once you switch formally to a different meal, right, we would also require the halacha that you bench in between the two. Right, you don't have milchix and fleshix within one washing berachas hamazon unit. So we're talking about more formal definition of separating the sudos. And Tosfos also quotes Rabbeinu Tam with another shita that kinuach v'adacha plays a role. That we know that kinuach v'adacha plays a role with milchix first or with cheese first that we saw in the previous amud. And it's the machlokas rishonim, whether that is applicable equally to chicken and to meat. It's its own story. But according to Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos, that if you have kinuach v'hadacha, so then you could have in the same meal. And if you wait to a different meal, then you don't need kinuach v'hadacha. So essentially, we have three different ways to define what we mean by not having in the same suda. So, how would you relate to that? What is the idea that emerges as far as not having in the same suda? Why can't you have them in the same suda? And do any of these interpretations lend to one or the other? And we'll throw in here, the Rambam mentions the idea of basar bein hashinayim, right, that you may have meat in between your teeth, which the Gemara makes reference to here. Habasar adenu ben shinayim. And that apparently after this period of time has elapsed, so then you can hope that the basar has disappeared. And there is a discussion in the poskim. What about, let's say, 6 hours have passed, and there's still meat between your teeth? Do you have an obligation to clean it out? Or let's say you didn't actually swallow the meat, but you chewed it up first in order to feed it to a baby. And is it about the taste of the meat that lingers? Or is it about these actual physical remnants? So what do you think? What is the issue here? Do these different perspectives contribute to understanding one way or another? So then, just to restate what we're trying to figure out, what are we worried about? Are we worried about the concern of eating basar b'chalav? Are we worried about that we are combining basar b'chalav in an inappropriate way? And the framework issue, are we worried that something will lead to something else? Or are we worried that what we're doing is already too close to something else? So what do you think? Do you feel any of these interpretations work better for one possibility or the other?
It seems to line up.
Okay, so how would you line it up?
I mean, the Rambam, who says the concern is achila, then you have to wait 6 hours because it's more about combining the pieces of meat that are in your mouth with the challah.
Okay, so that while you're eating, you're going to have meat in your mouth.
Right.
And so if you're going to drink milk, you're going to have the ice cream afterwards. So then you're actually eating ice cream and meat together.
Right.
So therefore, we have to wait till physically we can be confident that you don't have meat in your mouth anymore.
But okay. For tostos, it's probably more about bishul.
Okay, explain.
If you're allowed to eat it at the same meal, then you're going to come to cook the basar b'chalav together. But if you say you just have to move to a different meal and change the table.
And therefore, changing the table accomplishes what? Changing the table?
Then you're also changing the food at the meal.
Aha. So that's also like it's an extension of the challah idea, basically.
Right.
Right, so basically,
if it's two different meals, you're not going to come to be mevasha all the meat and milk together.
It's an interesting point saying the challah, it goes back to the way the Gemara praised it right before the Mishnah, that we're worried you're going to bring it out in a hot pot. So it goes back to an actual bishul concern.
Right.
So this is really just all connected to that. So all the type of combining them. See, it's interesting, you can focus on that, right? If you listen to what Rami's saying, that if you're saying that all we're interested in is that they shouldn't be at the same meal together, so then maybe it's not fundamentally separate from the Isser of Ha'ala. It's about the same thing. That means clear the table and have it somewhere else. But you could have also said, or you could say together with that, that the point of having it at a different meal is that that becomes just a hecker. That we're saying, okay, that we're not worried about any practicalities like we would if you had meat in your mouth. But we're worried about it should be clear to you that these two things are separate. So this is like a sign, making sure to keep them at separate meals is a sign. What about the third position, the kinuach v'adacha? Sounds like it's a little bit of both, right? Because the kinuach v'adacha, what does that go towards? That seems to go towards
the mixing,
I guess, right? Because where you have the taste in your mouth, or maybe you have remnants in your mouth. But here, it's interesting because that toast is kind of a hybrid. but focusing on these two different components. You could have one or the other. Have it either at a separate meal or have the kinuach v'hadacha. Okay. So these are, I think these gives us some elements to work with. What we still want to do for next time is to give some of the practicalities of some of these issues. And what we still have to explain eventually is if we want to focus, and maybe connect this also back to the Tamei Mitzvah's question, that if we do want to focus on Achila as the issue, but clearly Bishul is a big part of it, because the Isser Daraisa still requires Bishul. So we're going to have to explain why is it that if the Torah prohibits Bishul in order to prevent us from eating it, but still it only prohibits us min haTorah from eating that which is connected Derech Bishul specifically. So clearly Bishul does play a role. Okay, so far so good? Everything clear? All right, so let's just quickly recap what we spoke about. So we talked about this question of if Bishul is the focus or Achila is the focus, how does that inform the two Drabanans that we see on our daf? The question of keeping them off the table together and creating some kind of division within ourselves between eating fleishiks and eating milchiks. Are they because we're trying to keep a step away from combining meat and milk, and these are possibly too close to combining them, even if they're not bishul? Or is it because we don't want to eat meat and milk, and this is something that brings us too close to eating meat and milk? And also, in general, are these drabanans that we're afraid they may lead us to something, or are these drabanans that are themselves too close to something? And that may have a different nature also. So we got to the question of the fact that there's an Isra Ha'ala by chicken is interesting. In fact, it was a machlokas in the Mishnah where the paradoxical or the unusual chumrah of Beis Hillel and kula of Beis Shammai. And especially according to the Rambam, if the focus is achila and bishul is mutter, so it's interesting that ha'ala is asur, and the Rambam writes that it's because of hergel avera, and the Radbaz explains that people really are more likely to make a mistake in terms of the achila issue than they would be with other things. And then we talked also about how this could affect the question of waiting and the idea of not having meat and milk in the same meal. And we saw that there were at least three different angles as to what that's about, not having it in the same meal. Is it about separating them in terms of time? The Gemara mentions waiting a day, but then says waiting the Suda. So the Rambam says it's the time of the Suda, which is about 6 hours, as he put it. The Tosfos says that it's about clearing the table. Rami suggested that similar then essentially to the Isra of Ha'ala. There's also discussed that serves a role as a hecker specifically, which is a different kind of function here. And we also noted this third position of Rabbeinu Tam, that it is there could be that you could have kinuach v'hadacha work in the middle of a meal and not have and have swanging suda also work, have it be one or the other, which seems to be somewhat of a hybrid. Okay, so that gives us a framework for how to consider what exactly the issues are. Again, so we'll try to consider some of the practicalities next time, and God willing, hopefully we will have a successful shiur through our technology for our next interaction. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful day. I will hopefully be in touch with you soon.